Let's start with the Vanguard, page 5 of the Vanguard newspaper. We have this story here that says 2023 Lalong Oshiomhole lead APC's campaign team.
Well, at last, the campaign team, the full campaign team of the APC with Asiwaju as a candidate is now taking shape. Okay, it's now taking shape, and the campaign team, the director general, the buck will stop at the table, at the candidate's table, but before then, the buck will stop at Simon Lalong. The benefit of Simon Lalong, of course, is that he's a governor, and that makes sense, and also balance, there's some balance, he's a Northern Christian, for all his worth, and I think that's what tilted the scale in his favor. As against Oshiomhole, I think those two factors. Fine, Oshiomhole is a former chairman, but hey, it's always a good benefit if you have a current governor, if you get what I mean. If you don't get it, I'm sorry, you don't understand, but it's good to have a current governor. Not only would he be in a position to get a lot of things done, and I'm speaking in parables now, to get a lot of things done, but also he'll be able to gather all his governors, his fellow governors, for support and things like that. So, but his deputy would be Oshiomhole, who himself is a good political material, to use that word, an old fox at this game. Okay, so it's taking shape. This is yesterday. Yesterday it could take in shape. The media team, which is the team that we will interact with, and the part that, to be honest with you, concerns those of us here the most, will be headed by three people, and that I don't understand or agree with. You will have Festus Keyamo, who it is said is going to be the chief spokesman and director of public affairs. Then you will have Dele Alaki as Director of Strategic Communications. And then you have Bayo Onanuga, Director of Media and Publicity. And I was saying to an APC, a top APC member yesterday, because I got wind of this yesterday, that it's always good to have a final captain on a boat. If you have a fleet, let's take this thing as a fleet, the head of the fleet is the admiral, and that is the director general. But in the other boats that follow, in this media boat, I think it is good if the Asiwaju handlers quickly decide who would be the overall boss of communications. And that is, you know, it's usually at times like this, especially in the political dispensation. If you don't have one arrowhead, one person who is the head of all, what you could have, if care is not taken, giving pressure on each of the individuals can stand on his own. And to be fair, each of the individuals could jolly well head the media organization. But if you don't have an arrowhead, a top head, then you might find yourself running into some kind of trouble. That's my own piece of advice that I have for them. So the campaign has taken shape. We hope that it will now have some, what I will call, sensible direction. We will now begin to see, okay, so they're still trying to put the manifesto together, but I think that in doing that, at least they would know the basics of what the candidate has to offer the country, and begin to push that agenda. Rather than being reactive, we expect them to be proactive. We also, a piece of advice also, you have to restrain a lot of your people, especially the, what they call, influencers. You are not, I repeat with the capital, not going to gain any extra voter if all you do is just go on the abuse. Rather, it is important that the media team should know that you are supposed to build bridges and not break them. Okay? You are not supposed to be on the defense all the time of the candidate. There are some things you had better just ignore, because you'll be drawn out. You'll be drawn out. That's the nature of the job. You'll be drawn out, and if you keep going like on the Christian Muslim or Muslim Muslim ticket, I think the APC handlers dwell too long on it, and this idea of whether they are fake bishops or not was a completely wrong strategy. Get out there and let your people push the agenda. push the agenda. Don't go on any form of character assassination. I'm not saying you had in the past. Don't take this as an accusation again, okay? But go out there and push. Keep pushing the agenda and keep preaching peace. You can't want to govern people and back at them and fight them. You know, it's not a fight. It's an appeal. That should be the spirit of the campaign. So we look forward to that. I can't wait to have the organogram of the PDP's candidate to know who is doing what. Same for the other candidates. Mm. So that's where we are this morning.
All right. Let's go to the Punch, page 17. Oshimbajo's surgery shows folly of medical tourism. That's here from the Punch.
Yes.
It's an editorial.
It's an editorial. Okay, so the story here, of course, you know, Oshimbajo had a surgery about 2-3 weeks ago, thereabout. And, excuse me, rather than go abroad, he had the surgery here. And this is what the Punch has to say about it. It says, on the bright side, Oshimbajo's local procedure would have saved Nigeria from using scarce foreign exchange for his treatment overseas, no matter how small. If Nigeria had a conscientious leadership, it would have consolidated on the VP's act. But if experience and the rot in the health system is a guide, the moment will likely pass as an ephemeral tonic. And it says that truly the Buhari regime made heavy weather of Oshimbajo's preference. Instead of traveling overseas as the country's elite do, even for minor ailments, the VP, who reportedly suffered a leg injury during a game of squash, chose to have the surgery in Nigeria. Ecstatic, Nigeria's medical community described it as a vote of confidence for a much maligned and neglected sector by successive governments at every level. The honest to God truth is that most of our elites, I don't know where we got that culture in this country.
I don't know.
It is anything but Nigerian.
I don't know, honestly.
Look, in another story, there are 266 Nigerian doctors were registered in the United Kingdom in 1 month, which translates to about 4 a day. There are loads of doctors that I know that are in the United Kingdom. And it is not as if you do not have the same treatment or facilities here. But it's more of an ego thing. Even those who have been told you have great whatever cancer, you're likely to die, you say take me abroad so that at least in the obituary you can write that he died in a London or a Dubai hospital. The in thing amongst the elite and those who aspire to be part of the elite, I'm not one of them, I don't believe in such things, is that it should be your children to school, it should be abroad. Some even go as low as primary school to take their kids abroad, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's not, yes, I mean, you do have problems here, like with every other thing. But it's not even El Dorado in the UK too. You do have misdiagnosis. Don't you read foreign papers?
Yeah.
You have misdiagnosis, mistreatment. And I feel, to be honest with you, this is a difficult thing to say, but I feel more comfortable in the hands of a Nigerian doctor than a foreign doctor for just one major reason. The Nigerian doctor understands me. He understands me. He knows what it is to be a Nigerian. He understands me. And guess what? He's even a bit more flexible. But let's go into that argument. Back to this, the point says that critically, Nigeria should build from bottom up. And I like this. And this, what I'm going to say, this was what Professor Lukoye's philosophy, that first of all, start by concentrating on primary health care, the health care, general cleanliness, and so on and so forth. Primary health care to treat malaria, these things at a lower level, and then build it bottoms up. That was what was done in Cuba. Yes. And guess what? Cuba is adjudged, next thing now, people will run into the Cuban embassy. Cuba is adjudged by the WHO as having the best front health center, health system in the world.
Yeah, because during the pandemic, I don't know if you noticed that Cuban government were exporting their doctors to go help.
Look at that. Well, I didn't know that. I'm just
Cuban government. They loaned out their doctors to go help.
Well, you see, the truth is that the truth really is very few people, and it's getting worse by the day, have a nationalist spirit. We don't have the core of people that you have in some countries who have a national spirit and can move the development.
Mm.
But how can we develop? Look at what we're doing with our educational system.
I mean, that's just...
It starts from there.
Yeah, actually.
It starts from there.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you're doing with the educational system. In one of the stories here today now, we heard doctors had not been paid since February or so. Lecturers have not been paid since February. You know? So, it's I'm glad that Oshibaju, decided to have his whatever. I remember an uncle of mine, I think he'll be listening now. The day he wanted to have a surgery in England, he had to take another doctor along with him. Mm-hmm. I said, Uncle, why did you take your friends? He said, people hear me, your mom. They come up for you.
Someone shared a thought here on this conversation.
Yes.
And I think she'll be interested in this. Olumide Obe says, a problem with seeking care locally is the disregard for ethics across all professions. Would you want to see your medical records on the pages of tomorrow's papers tomorrow?
Well, without maligning anybody, there is always a danger in seeking help from any professional. And I don't want you to think that Nigeria is any different.
Mm.
You also have, you don't know, if you're seeing a doctor, you don't know if he's prejudiced. If you're seeing a white doctor, for example, you don't know if he's a prejudiced person.
Mm.
I mean, I laugh at it now, but I remember this uncle of mine who took his own doctor along. He said, you don't know the doctor that's treating you. Mm. He could be well qualified, you don't know he's prejudiced.
Mm.
So it's a Russian roulette, really, any which way you go. It's a Russian roulette. Just leave yourself in the hands of God. That's what I say. People will say, Jimmy, sir, of course I'm a religious person. I don't know.
Mm.
But just leave yourself in the hands of God and have that confidence. I've seen people do surgeries here.
Mm.
I mean, come on. I've seen doctors operate here.
Yeah.
Even some complex situations.
Yeah.
And I've seen other people say that, you mean they did this in Nigeria?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so...
I think we have very, very extremely brilliant doctors who...
Of course!
Who are also...
One of the best doctors in my neighborhood in the United Kingdom, in London, is a Nigerian.
Mm.
One of the... to see him could take you close to 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yes, even though I went to school with him. Even I, as a friend, the best I can do is once I can... If I don't... You see, that's another thing. You go, of course, if you have Dosh, mm. if you are loaded,
yeah.
You can go through. But if you have to go through the system, it's from by appointment. Here I can call Dr. Enrique, Doctor, I'm coming to your house at 6 o'clock. I can call Bangus at 2 a.m. to come and remove my tooth.
Mm.
That's my dentist. I think that its decision should be taken on its own merit.
Mm.
But this idea of going abroad at the slightest, it's just a show thing. We do a lot of things, put our children in certain schools for show, we go to hospitals for show. Where is everybody?
We like show offs. We live for it.
We live for it. It's like when I hear people say that, I want somebody to go to America to go and buy a car. What's your problem? You're not a car dealer. Then you buy the one that is right here in front of you that you can see. We need to take a more practical approach and be proud of our own.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to be proud of our own.
I agree.
You young guys don't know what we've gone through.
Mm.
There was a time if you dress like this, they would call you a bushman.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
In the 60s, to wear buban chokotoa, no. I know some people. Sheriff,
yeah,
I forgive you all your sins.
Thank you. You say thank you.
That is why I respected Shagari. Yeah. It was Shagari that broke it to go to work, everybody put suit and everything. This is.
Let's move on. Let's take this one from The Nation, page 6. Obituary. The Nation columnist alerts Peter Obi to death threats. That's on page 6 of you saw the trend yesterday.
That's the Sam Amashi. I really don't like, they say dog doesn't eat dog, you know. And Sam Amashi is a colleague. He's about my age. And maybe I'm slightly older than him. And I find this very embarrassing. But the truth is, he wrote a back page column on The Nation. And again, I'm going to say what I said about a month ago. I give Nation a lot of credit for, in spite of course, Nation is, we hear, is owned by Shiwaju. I don't think that is hidden. But they've presented a balanced paper, given their circumstances. So the guys there, I give them a lot of credit. He wrote an obituary. I say he wrote an obituary. He wrote a column on the back page, and he called it obituary, and it was a complete character assassination of Peter Obi, which I'm sure would have embarrassed Ashiwaju himself. You see, a lot of Ashiwaju supporters don't know him.
Yeah,
I have never met him, but I've studied him. And he's a man who is, and from what I hear from those who are close to him, is a man who believes that not everybody would like him. He believes in principles of some sort. So this, what he did was a complete character, and this is part of what we're saying. This is actually a newspaper. You now write a column called Obituary, you know, and you ran Peter Obi down completely. You tore him to shreds without much substance. Okay, so the supporters now, of course, the supporters took him on, all the young boys out there. And don't forget, Obi supporters are superfluous, they go across board. Of course, they took him on the social media. And now, the part that I find embarrassing that he says is that, Mr. Obi, call your supporters to order. They are calling and issuing death threats. If anything happens to me, you will be held. How can you hold Peter Obi responsible? He is not in control of himself. He doesn't even know who his supporters are. I hear that I have a bunch of people that would take you on if you take me on. I don't even know them. Loads of people, we don't know them. And I think it was a bit immature of him to say that if anything happens to me, I will hold you. In Nigeria, you don't make such statements. In Nigeria, you don't make such statements like, if anything happens to me, because the implications then are wide. If he has an armed robbery attack tomorrow, what does he want? Does he want the government to hold Peter Obi responsible? I think he should be a bit more, don't not get overexcited about this project, and let everybody just let peace reign. Let's have a peaceful campaign. There's no need for character assassination. Some people say, I don't like this candidate, I don't like that candidate. It is my right. If I don't like them, so what? I'm a human being. I can't like everybody. I'm not a hypocrite. Half of the people who are with most of these candidates, they know the reasons why they are there. Because one benefit of being a newspaper man is you see what people are doing out there, and then you remember what they told you in private. I mean, so this, let's all show a bit more maturity. And this call, I'd like to call again on my colleagues in the media that we need to be very critical about our position in this country. And that also refers to my younger colleague who got involved, took a BRT lane, and I heard yesterday he was at Sarufai, he got a 70,000 naira fine, and now there's a video of him saying, I will call the governor. These things are completely unnecessary. And I think the government did what it should do. The government has to enforce the law, and I stand with them on this. So let's not make issues. We need to be careful. We need, if we are the ones who are the most critical, then we are the ones who must show the best example. And some of the reasons given were quite embarrassing. People were doing it, and therefore I did it. At least that's what I read. I think it was completely honest. But I will apologize on his behalf and to say that we all learn and we all grow from experience. So it's not as if one hasn't made that kind of mistake before in life. We've all made one mistake or the other. But it doesn't take away, you know, how well he can do his job. The same also with the outburst of our other colleague too, Ruben Abati on Wiki. Let's all try and keep things down. The job of the media, ultimately, at the back of my head, every time I'm doing this job, what I desire to see is a peaceful nation that is making progress, nothing else. Why are you suddenly gone quiet?
You cannot mention that one. That one is private.
Okay, I'll not mention that.
That one is private.
The funny thing is, I didn't do anything. But
can you just play along now?
He's not sure that he has done something that I've not heard, and I've not heard anything. That is what you call Molofu. He fell for it.
So I was actually thinking about the role of the media, the role of, you know, the prints, the broadcast, electronic.
Yes.
And my conclusion is that the part we play is a very delicate part.
Very, very delicate.
And people should not expect us to be perfect.
No, of course we are not.
Because what I saw, what I read, you know, online 2 days now has been quite...
About what now?
About the Rufai situation.
Oh, okay.
About Omar Shayer's situation. I've been quite... I don't want to say that people were vicious with their comments, but I think that people expect too much, perhaps because the leadership has failed, so they're looking up to somebody to just take the responsibility for everything.
Well, the truth is...
Because I think the media people are humans as well. They have blood running through their veins.
Yes.
And these people would make mistakes, you know, once a while. But you find out that people...
They're unforgiving.
They are unrelenting.
Unrelenting, yes.
Ah.
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is. I want to be held responsible for what I want to say. You see, whether you like it or not, people believe that practitioners in the media are in a privileged position. And whether you like it or not, in some cases, some people have what I would call a beef with you in the course of your job. For example, supporters of a candidate who feel that every time you're taking the candidate down, not bothering to find out, like in newspaper reviews now, we review what is in the papers, and they think that, oh, he hates him. So what they're doing actually is to wait for that slip. You understand? And they wait for that slip, and then they go on a complete character assassination and think if they can kill you. A lot of these things they are programmed. Okay, they're programmed. In the case of maybe Rufai is highly critical, just like I am and you are, you know, he's a highly critical person. So everybody, of course, is those who he has, whatever, will be lying in wait to see.
They'll be waiting for that sleep.
They'll be waiting for that sleep. And he should have that at the back. Like I said, we'll all learn. If I were in his shoes with that incident that happened. First of all, I would never take a BRT lane. I'd rather die there because I know what would happen if Jimmy Jisoo gets arrested. And if I do take that BRT lane, I mean, I don't know what I'm saying to you. And we go settle. I said, I'm okay. It's not as if one, every day you encounter these things. And there's a saying, I think it was in Leopold Senghor, that says that a tiger does not express his tigritude. It just needs to say that you don't need to bark at anybody. Simple thing, you took BRT lane. How much over? Settle and move on.
To be very honest, right?
Yes.
There was one day on Lekki Epe I was driving, right?
You took one way.
And no, I've never done that. That's the one thing I will never do in my life.
Well, I don't even have the luck of committing crime.
So it's a simple scenario, and people will have to please bear with us to draw this. You know. So there was this giant truck, you know, this very giant truck. So I was following him bumper to bumper because of the traffic. It was quite hectic. So everybody was trying to just move through the traffic light. So this big truck blocked the traffic light.
Light, yes.
So I couldn't see it. The moment he passed, I was following bumper to bumper, the light changed. Right in front of last my guys, they just ushered me sideways like this because others saw it. I couldn't see it because I was at the back of the truck. And I was like, roofing. I had to beg.
Yes, no.
Like, I had to appeal to him that, Joe, Sherry Kwemori, me, reset. You know, and he delayed me for some time. The others came. I appealed to all of them. I begged them. They didn't even know, you know, who I was. And that was it. They allowed me to go.
Of course, no. Of course.
Do you understand? So, of course.
No, but of course. I know there's a party I've not said.
No. Honestly.
Okay, you didn't have
nothing,
to do
nothing.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I just had to beg.
Listen, you, if you were to, you know, if you were to make an issue out of every confrontation you have in Nigeria, You will die in the process.
What I'm actually trying to say is that I think that nobody is perfect.
No.
Anybody can make mistakes. I made mistake on that day. I mean, if anything, if anybody wants to come after me for that, they would have their way because I actually broke the law.
You broke the law, yes. And I also think, I don't know why, I also think I would not hesitate to make a public apology if I've breached the law and I know it. I don't believe in bravado.
Yeah.
I don't believe in it. I would just, because you see, once you make that apology, you've melted everything.
Mm.
You must always think ahead, think of the bottom line, where it's going to end. What is all this? You took a bear tilling and it's become a blood. Anyway, please forgive him. Please forgive him. Please forgive him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's move on. I think we can squeeze in just one last one before we go. VGC Orca drug boss. How we recovered 258 meth precursor chemicals in raid. Nab two barons, chemists. Marwa speaking.
There's no time. You should read this Vanguard story.
You should read it.
Do you know why? Do you know why?
Yeah.
This guy was manufacturing, is it manufacturing, you call it now? Had a lab anyway, was producing illicit drugs. Or he's accused of producing illicit drugs, can't call him that. And knowing the danger, he wasn't sleeping there. He was sleeping. Now the authorities have to go and sort out the water they've been drinking in that neighborhood and so on and so forth. Now, you need to read this.
There's no time.
I will deal with it tomorrow.
Okay.
Philip.
Okay.
Please keep this. I will deal with this story tomorrow so that, because it affects all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Why you need to be very, very sensitive about your environment. So we'll look into it tomorrow.
All right. This is where we drop this this morning.
Yes.
Today is there, Bomiabi.
Yes, I'm dressed for the event.
Who is coming?
Agbede.
Okay.
You know Agbede?
He's
going to tackle Onyeye.
Which of the
Onyeye? The big and the small.
Onyechi.
Yes, the black and the yellow.
Okay. That will be interesting. That's our show. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Sheriff.
Lagos will be back tomorrow at 7:30, right? Let's take a break, bring you the news. After the news, let's talk about what private schools are teaching our children, how they are teaching them to pronounce some words in English language, the pronunciation that you hear, like they want to call long, they will say lang. They want to call short, they will say shit.
What do you eat with a knife and water?
No kidding.
What do you eat with?
No kidding.
You eat with what?
Fake. Because that's what they are teaching them.
Yeah.
there's a lot more. So this morning I was speaking with teachers and parents as to the funniest parents I've heard, and the teachers, why do you go and hire elocution teachers that couldn't even get these things right? Like it's insane. That's next at 8. I just want to laugh.